Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to share one more day with you on the subject of the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh Hebrew month, 15th to the 21st day. This occurs after the fruit harvest. It's also called the Feast of Booths, which was the temporary dwelling place and route to the Promised Land, which is a type of us in our temporary dwelling place here in earth, and also our temporary dwelling place in physical bodies, which we're, of course, going to be of a permanent dwelling place in the New Jerusalem. And also, we're going to have new glory. Glorified bodies. It's also the Feast of Ingathering, pointing to the final harvest, all the souls that are going to be gathered in before the coming of the Lord. It was a time, a solemn feast, but a time of great rejoicing because of the harvest that had come in. We will have great rejoicing because of the rewards that will come to us and because of the great harvest that God has brought in. We talked about the fact that there were the rains. The rains came to ripen the harvest, and the rain is likened to the Word of God coming to us and the true doctrine of the Lord and the Holy Spirit working to bring reviving, refreshing, and restoration, which is what He purposes to do. We see that then it brought forth the harvest of souls. He has long patience for the final harvest to come in. This is all about the tabernacling of God coming to be with us. The first fulfillment of it was the birth of Jesus Christ, which is at the time of tabernacles, not on December 25th. It's a lie. There'll be another fulfillment, which will be at the coming of Jesus Christ the second time, which is when He establishes millennial reign, the reign of Jesus Christ. We also talked about the fact that this feast, the seventh month, and it begins on the 15th day. And the 15 is the number of rest in Scripture. And this speaks of us coming into rest. And it's all type of the church coming into rest before Jesus comes back, which is entering into the promises of God. Now, this feast had all these sacrifices, and they were in multiples of 7, 8, and 10. 7 pointing to the perfection, completion of the work of God. 8, referring to resurrection, which we're going to get a new glorified body, and also the new beginning. We'll have a new beginning in the New Jerusalem. And also the number 10, the law of order and testing, that we're going to come in line with God's laws and His orders in our life. It was also the Feast of the Open Book, where there was revelation of the Word of God always being read at this time. This speaks of the fact, again, that revelation is coming to the church. The church is going to receive the true doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what He declares in His Word, to the measure of the full stature of the man in Christ, and it's going to come to pass. For everything you see about the seventh month indicates something to do with end-time fulfillment of the plan of God, which is what the feasts are all about, the plan of God and how He fulfills it through Jesus Christ. Final three feasts, which is the Feast of Trumpets, the catching up of the church to meet the Lord in the air. 10 days later, the Day of Atonement, which is the day of judgment that will come upon those that have rejected Jesus. And then 5 days later, the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ in tabernacles. At tabernacles, we saw in 1 Kings 8 and also over in 2 Chronicles in chapter 5, we saw the fact this is the time when Solomon's temple, which is a type of the church, has been completed and it has been dedicated. Through this, we pointed out that there was much cleansing, there was much illumination, and there was much nourishment that came forth. And then the time when it was completed, it took 7 years to complete it, the dedication of it was made. And this speaks of the fact that the dedication scene points prophetically to the true dedication of the church that is going to take place when the church comes to the place of fullness at the time of tabernacles. The church then is going to experience the glory of the Lord that is going to be poured out upon the church. And this dedication, again, is at the time when the people become one. We talked about this out of 2 Chronicles in chapter 5. Were in the seventh month. They all came to the place of being holy because they were sanctified. All the priests were, which speaks of the church being sanctified. We also saw that they came as one, coming into the unity. We also saw that they were arrayed in fine linen, which speaks of righteousness, walking uprightly in line with the word of righteousness, being truly righteous, having the fruits of righteousness that produces holiness. And also, it was the time when they had 120 trumpets, remember, which is a change of age from the church age to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We also see that then, after that, the glory of the Lord was poured out upon them. And we see that this is going to happen. Now, this is also the time of restoration. We see in Ezra, in chapter 3, in verse 1, when the seventh month was come. And remember, when you see something about the seventh month, you know it's talking about, prophetically, end-time activities or end-time accomplishments, what happens in the church before Jesus comes back. When the seventh month was come, verse 1 of Ezra 3, the children of Israel were in the cities, and the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. They became as one. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The church is going to come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And then we see, verse 2, talks about how they builded the altar of God, which means God's at work to build his spiritual house and his altar of worship and all the things that he wants to do in us so that we can receive the glory of God, which is the presence of God poured out upon us. We see in verse 3 that there are all these offerings that were offered up. As you and I, our bodies are going to be a living sacrifice offered unto the Lord. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We're to be totally yielded unto the Lord. And down in verse 8 and 9, it speaks of the fact that they set forward the work of the Lord, because the work of the Lord is to be accomplished in the body of Christ and through the body of Christ. And it talks about in verse 10 how the builders laid the foundation and the priests were set in apparel with their trumpets and their praises, and they were singing and praising God. And we see the fact that God is bringing the church to the place of praising and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Then we see over in chapter 4, verse 1, it speaks about the adversaries who heard that the children had built the temple unto the Lord, and they were trying to stop this building. They came to try to weaken their hands and trouble the building, as it says in verse 4. And they were trying to frustrate this building. And the result was they were successful, and the work ceased, as it says down in verse 24. Well, this is what the devil's been trying to do, to stop the work of God coming forth in the body of Christ. But then we see in Ezra chapter 5, verse 1, it speaks about the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, and it says that they came and prophesied unto the Jews that were there, and then began to build the house of God at Jerusalem. This speaks of the fact that God is bringing forth those who are going to speak forth, declaring what the word of the Lord is, how the church must get up and start building the house of God. They cannot do what they want to do any longer. They must arise and start doing what God tells them to do. Of course, the enemies didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that these guys were building the house, but they're being obedient and building the house of the Lord. This is exactly what's going to happen in the body of Christ, that the body of Christ is going to build the house of the Lord and to see this building be accomplished that God has purposed all along. Now, over in Haggai, we see in chapter 1, he says, people were saying that the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. They were thinking it wasn't the time. But no, the prophet was saying, is it time for you, O you, to dwell in sealed houses, and this house lie waste? He said, consider your ways. It talks about in verse 6 how they sowed much but weren't bringing in much, bringing in little, eating but not having enough, drinking but not being filled, clothed but none warm, earning wages but they were put into like a bag with holes. And why was that? The blessing of God wasn't coming because they weren't obeying God. He said again, consider your ways. And he told them to go up and build the house, and then he would be glorified. Well, the problem was that they were building their own house. He says, mine house is waste, but you are running in your own house, just building their own life, doing their own thing. Verse 10, and he said, the heaven over you is stayed with dew, and the earth stayed from her fruit. Otherwise, no fruit. There was a drought upon the land, and there was no harvest coming forth. Well, in verse 12, Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord. And they began to do what the prophet had said, and the people did fear before the Lord. This speaks of the fact that there's going to be a remnant who are going to listen to the voice of the Lord. And they're going to get up and they're going to start obeying, building the spiritual house of God. And the people are going to come to the place of walking in the fear of the Lord. The church must walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and they'll turn away from sin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And by the fear of the Lord, men are going to depart from all evil in their life. And they're going to come to the place of being holy body before the Lord. And this is what must happen in the body of Christ. Well, it goes on, and he says that I'm with you. And the Lord stirred them all up, the remnant, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord. You and I are to get busy working out our salvation in the fear of the Lord. We cannot walk in our own ways any longer. And all this was declared during the sixth month. And the sixth month is the month Elul, which is the month of repentance. Well, then we come to Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. And it begins in the seventh month. Now again, whenever you see the seventh month, you know it's talking prophetically about the end times. And it says in the 1 20th day of the month. Now, what's that? The 21st day of the month. What day is that? That's the last day of Tabernacles. Because remember, it's a 7-day feast that begins on the 15th day to the 21st day. So this is at the end of Tabernacles, meaning now that things are supposed to have been completed, which was prophetic of the completion of the work of God that is accomplished in the church. And we see that, again, he's speaking to all the people, Zerubbabel, Joshua, but also the residue, which is the remnant of the people. And he says in verse 3, who's left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? And he's speaking here about the church. What is it like compared to the early church who had the glory of God poured out of it? It's like nothing. That's exactly what we see today. But he says in verse 4, be strong, all you people of the land, and work. It's time for you to get strong in the Lord and to do the work of God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and be a vessel for God to work through you as you carry out the ministry that God has given unto you. And those are the ones who are going to respond, the remnant, the ones that have been sanctified, the ones that have done the work of God, the ones that are going to follow him and be part of that church that's going to see the glory of God poured out in these last days. Then he talks about in verse 6, he says, yet once it's a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And he says, and I will shake all nations. You must understand that a shaking is coming. We are just on the outskirts of seeing this shaking. We see it even happening economically. We're going to see it going to happen in all aspects. God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. He's going to shake all nations, as he says. And he talks about, after he does this, the latter part of verse 7, he says, I will fill this house with glory. This is talking about the end time church that's come to the place of fruition, of perfection, of coming to be one, of being holy before the Lord, being strong, walking in the fear of the Lord, accomplishing the work of God to work out their salvation. This house is going to be filled with glory. He says the silver's mine and the gold's mine, indicating that there is going to be finances that are going to come into the church for the propagation of the gospel in these last days. Then in verse 9, the glory of this latter house, this is the last days church, shall be greater than of the former. The glory of the first church was great glory, but the glory of the latter house is going to be greater. And he says, in this day will I give peace. This shows the fact that the glory of God is going to be poured out upon the church as he is shaking everything that can be shaken. This is going to happen in these last days. This restoration is going to happen, and then the glory of God is going to be poured out mightily. In closing, I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. If you're looking for a church that teaches the uncompromised word and will minister healing and deliverance to you continually until you are set free, come to our services on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For information, call 602-279-5212. That's 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.